33 minutes past the hour, Texas Standard Time. I'm David Brown. A little earlier in the big broadcast, we mentioned that the governor's just appointed a retired head of the Texas Rangers to lead the department that runs Child Protective Services. For hundreds of babies born in Texas each year, their first caregiver is the state. In fact, in the last 5 years, Texas Child Protective Services has taken custody of more than 5,500 newborns. But how and why does CPS get involved in the lives of the state's youngest infants? Well, the Standard's Joy Diaz went looking for some answers. And parents, you need to be advised here. Some of the language is not appropriate for young listeners.
In Texas, the law is pretty clear when it comes to who's responsible for reporting abuse or neglect. The answer is pretty much anyone who thinks abuse or neglect is happening. Often, that person is a delivery nurse or a doctor. Lisa Guyton is with Child Protective Services.
The hospital calls us either at the time the baby is born or shortly after the baby is born if they have concerns.
One phone call is all it took for CPS to become intrinsically involved in the lives of Courtney Meeks and William Welch.
Come in.
I arrived at the hospital the morning after their baby girl was delivered. Welch was still in awe. His hands trembled and thick tears rolled down his cheeks as he described the moment his daughter came into the world.
Amazing. That was amazing.
Hey.
I'd never seen anything like that. I can't even explain it, you know?
But the shaking and tears aren't just of pure joy. Welch is terrified. The challenges that lay ahead are huge. For starters, he and Courtney Meeks are homeless. They're also recovering addicts. As we talk about these things, a nurse came into the room.
All right, so I've got your discharge paperwork here.
It had only been one full day since Meek's C-section. Still, the discharge meant it was time to go back to their camp, somewhere in the woods of Austin. But not with their baby. She stayed at the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit, or NICU.
We don't like the fact that we have to leave her here. Because, you know, we bought everything at my dad's house.
Before the baby was born, the plan was for Meeks to move in with her dad in Beaumont. That's where she took the baby's crib and all the stuff people gave her. But like most infants born to homeless mothers, the baby came early. She was also underweight and in fragile health. The hospital is running all sorts of tests on her, especially since Meeks just tested positive for HIV. Guyton from CPS says her agency doesn't get involved just because a parent may be HIV positive or just because they may be homeless. She says CPS is always looking for ways to keep the family together.
Do they have access to shelter? Do they have access to water? Do they have access to electricity so that they would be able to meet the basic needs of the child?
Though illness and homelessness are not automatic triggers for CPS involvement, drugs are. Courtney Meeks and William Welch discovered that quickly. They say they stayed clean during most of the pregnancy, but towards the end, they say, they relapsed. And this relapse is terrifying.
Yeah. We might lose her. You know.
You might lose Courtney?
Might lose a baby.
Might lose the baby.
At 42, this is Welch's only child, and the possibility of losing her makes him feel like the world around him is crumbling. It's been a couple of days since the baby was born. The couple sits under a tree. They have good news. A state-funded drug rehab program called Drug Court will accept them in an attempt to cure their addiction. Meeks and Welch have committed to going, but before they do, CPS asks that they find someone willing and able to care for baby Eve.
My dad, first he said he would do it, and then he said, does he realize how hard this is for him? I said, yes.
Meeks realizes it is too much for her father. He's elderly, his health is failing, his financial situation is very tight. She hangs up the phone.
I know that would piss him off more. I offered to send him gas money, and he's like, you don't have any money. F*** you, I do.
Ask Mary.
Back to the phone, she calls an aunt, a cousin. She's running out of options. She calls a friend. Nothing. So, it's back to her dad. This time, Welch does the talking. We're not asking for your money, he says, but we are asking for your help. It's been more than a week, and help has yet to arrive. Through the NICU window, I see baby Eve. She looks like she's in a cocoon, protected, completely unaware of the enormous fight going on about where she'll go next. I'm Joy Diaz for the Texas Standard.